The Word of God is the seed containing the very life of God. It is His agent of transformation. As you receive these words in your heart with faith, that life is released into your spirit, and your life receives a supernatural lifting. Join Apostle Joshua Selman as he brings you God's Word with simplicity and power.
Your hands everywhere, inside and outside. Let's bless His name, because He's mighty in our midst. And cry for a visitation tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry for a visitation from the depth of your heart. Lord, give me a visitation. Give me an encounter. Shebaka kapo sobra da balada 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 bosh. Jige de bradi gara balada 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 bosh. Suto pranda gabaria da baski pranda da bosh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like us to pray just one prayer and then we'll sit down. Amen. See, the beauty of a believer's life is that progressively you can measure your transitions in the spirit. You can look at your life and be able to benchmark. You can know that you have left this realm to this realm to this realm to this realm. If after a prolonged period of supposedly seeking the Lord, you cannot trace evidences of transformation, evidences of His presence, then it's a sign that you are not growing. I like us to pray and say, Father, breathe on me. Breathe on me. Do something in my life that will cause me to produce results. Results, results. Lift your voice and pray. Breathe upon me tonight. Do something in my life. Do something in my life. Breathe upon me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated. We have to run tonight. Bless the name of the Lord. I live a life that is intentionally conscious of the changes that God is bringing in my life. I pay attention to my dealings with the Spirit of God, and I recognize and acknowledge the transitions that are happening to me. Listen. Not only is it important for you to come to church, come before the presence of God, it's important that you trace your growth. This is very, very important because it has both a spiritual and a psychological effect upon you. When you can see that I am growing, see, no human being spends his time doing what he knows will not work. Are we together now? So if you must receive a renewed passion to fire on with the things of God, you must be able to take an inventory, an appraisal. My pursuit of God so far, what has it delivered to my life? Can I claim that I've been able to experience certain dimensions of the power of God? When the lady gave her testimony about, you know, supernatural answers coming, I wasn't just impressed with the testimony. I was shocked at the unbelief of some of you. That's what surprised me. That something as spiritually basic as a visionary encounter, and then so many people want to take the power of God. Then you want to give word of knowledge. If a shadow appears and you see answers and you are wondering, is it exactly true or is it a dream? How in the world is God going to begin to reveal to you things that have not yet happened? Will you believe it is God? If you cannot believe this, that means you don't even believe that the miracles that happen here are real. Are we together? In my life, Lord, I see what you're doing one more time. I truly lift my hands in praise of your name. I lift my hands in praise of your name. Let's just sing it one more time. I praise you. I praise you. Mean this song from the depth of your heart. Oh Lord, I praise you for your authority, for your grace upon our lives. The word, but let me just speak to one or two people. Silas, I'm hearing the name Silas. Who is Silas? Silas, the Lord is speaking to me about someone called Silas. The Lord wants to bring a miracle for the family of one Silas. Please, if you're here inside, outside, just notify so I will speak to you. Hearing a name, Joyce. Is it Joyce or something? Joyce, like J-O-Y-C-E. Is there someone with that name? Joyce. Joyce. Please, if that belongs to you, very quickly, so that I can just speak the word that the Lord is putting. Hallelujah. I'm hearing a lady, they call you Gimbia, whatever that means. They call you Gimbia. Gimbia, who's that? Inside, outside? Please, very quickly, if there's someone like that with that case or someone related to you, let me just speak over your life. Silas, how about them? Please don't just come out. Let's save time. We have a lot. They call you that name. Who has a sick patient in the hospital? I'm seeing somebody having a sick patient. You came here, you left a sick patient in the hospital. This is a very serious case. I'm seeing the person just bones. This is like a lady. You're a lady. Why is he out? You're the one with a sick person? Where? What's wrong? Person I'm seeing is a blood disease. I'll pray for you, but this is a blood disease, something that's eating the person. Is lying down. In fact, they are praying technically just for the person to die. Please, very quickly, let's just minister to them. This is what the meetings are all about. It's an opportunity for God to step in and bless people. You know, only the church is authorized to do this. Any other person who does this is illegal. Only the church. If a herbalist does this, it's still illegal. A politician does this, it's illegal. Only the church is authorized. There are not many places that are permitted by God to do these kinds of things. So we must take advantage of it. What's wrong with you? Patient, where? What's wrong with you?
And his mouth and his legs has swelled up.
They told you something. A man of God told the family something. What did he say?
That somebody charmed him from the village.
Do you think it's a lie? Is he your brother? Your friend? What do you mean friend? Somebody you want to marry, you are now saying he's your friend as if. Am I lying?
No, sir.
Shebi is your girl now. Hallelujah. Listen. Let's take this in easy this night. I have some serious. It's too early to start laughing. The message tonight is very serious. Hallelujah. You believe God can heal him, right? You're a very nice lady. Hold my hands. May God... How many ladies will meet somebody that they like and the person is in the hospital, they will just leave him first and start arranging for the absence. So for her to be able to come out and stand in for him. You believe God will heal him? What's his name? Father, please do a miracle for this gentleman. I use you as a point of contact. May the anointing of the Spirit touch him. And that chain of witchcraft be broken. Anything he eats, he vomits it out. We have to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I use you as a point of contact. Let there be a miracle. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, my dear. God is bringing a breakthrough for your family, right? Tonight is not a miracle service, but let me just minister your joys. God is bringing a miracle to your family. And I'm seeing you walking, but then I'm seeing like a vehicle just takes you to rush. That speed God is bringing to your life. Father, I pray that this will be even as you have declared in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really don't know why. Okay, come. The person with accident, his leg broke. What happened? He, she. Okay. Do you know why? What did they say is wrong with her? My dear, was I there? Her leg broke. That's why they said she would stay in the hospital for 3 months. 3 months. This is what I'm telling you. You are saying trailer fall on you and it will not injure you. This is a miracle she needs, because there are multiple fractures that happened to her. Father, do a miracle and let her get out of that hospital in the name of Jesus. And for you, may the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Why is he out? Your name is Joyce. Okay. Let me just pray. Honestly, let's just pray for her. At least you don't come out and get nothing. Father, bless Joyce in the name of Jesus. Sir, you are suffering financially, very seriously. You are suffering financially, one. But the second thing is not something I can say here because it will embarrass you. But please, you love Jesus. We'll talk, please. It's not something I'll say here. But it must stop in Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying? It must stop. I don't want to embarrass you, sir. But please, if I make the altar call, just come out and God bless you, sir. Thank you. I'll pray for you. I'll just lay my hands quickly so we can do tonight's teaching. Gimbia. Who is from Kaduna? What's your name? So why are you here? The Lord wants to bring deliverance to a family. Please just let me just do this. I didn't intend doing this. I'm seeing a family, four of them in the family are SS. Four of them. SS. Four of them. The person is somewhere, I don't know if he's inside or outside. Four of them. SS, like genotype. Genotype. And the Lord wants to do a miracle right now. Please don't sit back there. God wants to do a miracle. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. A miracle for you. Miracle, God is bringing restoration to you in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. Please go back. Are you brothers? Where are the other ones? They are not here. Four of you. How many of you are SS? Four. You believe God will do a miracle? Do you believe it? The anointing of the Spirit of God is already on you because you have faith to receive. The power of God is already on you, breaking. Something is leaving you. You must let her go. I tell you, there's no such thing as SS. Believe me. It's a lie. See, that a doctor said it. I'm not against doctors. They are practicing. They are practicing. Practicing. When we say you are practicing, what does that mean? That means you don't have all the answers. They are practicing. There's no such thing as SS. If you are not whole, there is a spirit making it so. If you sit down just saying I'm okay, no. Machine called this SS. You are watching it right before you. This is witchcraft. There's no such thing. I don't believe it. We have doctors, see doctors all around, but I don't believe it. Just believe me. You don't fight people, but you must contend for a higher spiritual reality. That's the only way you can dominate the limitations of this realm. I say it again. There is no such thing as SS. And I minister right now. I stretch my hands. Anyone here with any blood disease, please pay attention to what I'm saying. Anyone here under the sound of my voice with any blood disease, whether you are aware or not, right now in the name of Jesus, I arrest that spirit wherever it is. I'm not asking you to come out. Wherever you are, in the name that is above all names, I arrest that spirit wherever it is. There are at least three people with this blood disease. It's like a curse in your family. Wherever they are, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I arrest that spirit. We call it in medicine SS or AS or whatever it is, but we are changing it right now. We are changing it right now by the influence of the Spirit of God, inside and outside. Anyone who is a victim of that kind of thing, let it be changed right now. Father, hold my hands. I bring you healing in the name of Jesus right now. By the power of the Holy Spirit, be healed of that demonic thing in the name of Jesus. I use both of you as a point of contact to your families. Hallelujah. Goodness, I have to preach. Bring the lady that shouts under the anointing outside. I'm seeing an angel of the Lord touching a lady outside. A mighty shout. Please bring her inside right now. I want to talk to her.
Break every chain. 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 Break every chain.
There is power,
there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain,
break every chain, break every chain.
The Lord has been doing a great work in your life. But one of the things that the Lord is doing in this season is He's cutting away altars. This is what is happening in your life and in your family. He's breaking them up. Your coming to Koinonia is causing a serious catastrophe in the gates of hell concerning your family. And I pray for you, God will begin to give you dreams, all kinds of strange dreams, encounters with angels, supernatural encounters, encounters in the spirit. I agree with you and I take authority over everything that does not name the name of Christ. Let it live your life and let it go forever in the name of Jesus. Listen, let me tell you something. Whether a service is a miracle service or not, it doesn't matter as far as God is concerned. For as long as there is something in your life that stops you from enjoying the blessings of the kingdom, it must come under attack. Are we together now? We can't say wait until. I know that I have a teaching session, but you see, let me tell you something. It is our desire that every time you come here, you have an encounter with God. Hallelujah. I'm seeing like a bird jumping out of people. This is strange. Just allow me to do my madness for a few minutes. This is like a spirit leaving people from their stomach, just flying out. I'm seeing at least 5 people that this is happening to. Severely, right now, at least 5 people. 5 people that this is happening to. 5 people. Something just jumping out like a bird. That's what I'm seeing in the spirit. Let it go. Let it go. In the name that is above all names, let it go right now. Like a bird is leaving, causing pain and destruction. I command it to leave right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. For one, that's what has been causing an infection. I see like an infection, but it goes right now. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it must leave your body forever. Break every chain. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Let's get to the business of the night. This atmosphere is already stirred. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1. Last week, we began looking at the subject of the unity of the faith. We began to explore the body of Christ, the ecclesia, and we started to examine why we've not been able to attain that position of unity in the body of Christ. Why divisions, why seditions, and all kinds of things. And the Lord granted us the opportunity to look extensively. I first and foremost began last week by talking about the concept of divine patterns. How that no man is at liberty to choose the method of his pursuit towards spiritual progress. There's no such thing as guessing your way around. There is a blueprint. Are we together now? And then it's expected that everyone who aligns to God will follow his predefined blueprint. That means there is a way to seek God such that you will find him. There is a way to become a Christian and to live out your Christian experience such that it becomes fruitful. Anything outside that pathway will lead to error, will lead to apostasy, and will lead to a barren Christian life. And we began to examine the concept of divine patterns. There is a way you build ministry. You don't build it the way you want. There is a pattern. There is a way you build business. You don't build it the way you want. There is a way you build family. And so the first assignment of every believer who wants to make progress in the spirit is not just to begin to move carelessly, but through the illumination of the word of God to search out, right, the pathways in the spirit that have been earmarked for the delivery of certain kinds of spiritual results. If you want the anointing in the spirit, there is a pathway that leads to the anointing. If you want increase in ministry, there is a pathway. If you want to walk in financial prosperity, there is a pathway. The problem with our generation is that we are so intellectual and scientific. We guess our way around the things that only the word of God can give us information about. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. Hallelujah. The Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Scientifically, intellectually, it says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So one of the things that staying under the presence of God does for a Christian is that it helps you to cut away all these options you have and guides you to the path, that path of righteousness, right? Where you begin to live out in accordance. You are no longer a rebel to the principles of the kingdom. Then you come at peace with creation and everything begins to compel uncommon consistent results in your life. Praise the Lord. So we spoke about divine patterns, and We rounded off last week discussing three great errors. Remember? Three great errors that have crippled the body of Christ and has fought God's agenda of seeing the church coming to that point the Bible calls the unity of faith. Error number one is apostasy, a deviation from the patterns of God, a deviation from the truth. And I told you that there are two dimensions of apostasy. The vessel communicating that apostasy, that deviation, that error can be false and of the devil, never of God in the first place. Or the individual can be of God, but his doctrine is not of God. Are we together now? The Bible talked about a man in the Bible called Demas. Demas was once in the faith, but he fell out of the faith and began to communicate things that were not of God. Balaam, the Bible warns in the book of Revelation of the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam was a true prophet, right? But then there was a progression. It was first an error of Balaam. Then it was a way of Balaam. Then it was a doctrine of Balaam. It started as a mistake. Then it became a pathway to guide others to follow. And then it became a doctrine. The Bible talks about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. All of these are fabrications from the pit of hell. Many of them, they were initiated by sincere people with sincere desires, but because they guessed their own pathway. See, the danger when sincerity mixes with error, it becomes apostasy. Because you have passion, but your pathway is wrong. Are we together? So someone wants to see breakthrough in their family, sincere heart. Then they go to a herbalist, a wrong pathway. And then it produces a deviation from God's pattern with severe consequences. So the first error is the error of apostasy. There are many doctrines being taught in church. Many of them have been older than every one of us here. But the foundation of those doctrines are from the pit of hell. The Bible says, doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons. People have gone for prayer and fasting, gone to several places, and not navigating the pathway of the spirit properly, they have accessed strange ideas from spirits that a thing is supernatural does not mean it's of God. Supernatural just means outside of the three-dimensional realm. There are spheres that influence us beyond the scope of the three-dimensional realm. And chances are that anything you see that is superhuman, you suddenly call it godly. It may be divine, in that it is of a force that is greater than that of humans. It's supernatural, being that is outside of the scope of man's reason. But that does not mean it is of God. The apostle said there is, as it were, many voices, and none of them is without effect. So that you are having encounters that are extra physical or beyond the physical realm does not mean these encounters are of God. Apostasy. Number two, indifference. That was the second error we considered. How that there are people in the body of Christ whose scope of passion is not kingdom. The scope of their passion is not holistic. Once an error in the body of Christ does not affect their immediate environment, they are not concerned. Are we together now? Is the error of indifference. So they are so conscious of their ego, they do not have the courage to confront certain things that have the capacity to destroy the body, for as long as it has not affected them in person. They are the kinds who will give a testimony like, praise the Lord, I was coming in a car with 30 people and there was an accident, but only because I hold Papa's biro, every other person died, only me, the God of A and B and C, and people clap about it, not minding that other believers died, which has impeded the capacity for kingdom acceleration. So the scope of their pursuit of God is biased, self-centered. Once a thing does not affect them directly, that was the attitude of Esther when she got to the throne, as against that of Mordecai. Mordecai was a gatekeeper with a passion for the salvation of Israel. Are we together now? And God took Esther, Hadassah, to the throne.
The purpose was so that she would be a source of influence to rebuke that which Haman was plotting against the nation of Israel. But when she got there, she became carried away by the bounties of royalty. And then Haman was there plotting the destruction of the nation of Israel. And Mordecai sent her a message. And for a while, she would not pay attention. And this is what Mordecai said. Don't you think, number one, they don't even know you are a Jew hanging in that palace. Because when they know, they will hang you and kill you in a shameful way. A woman gave chance for you to come here, called Vashti. And now God brought you there and you have lost that kingdom view of your purpose of being in the palace. So because you are now enjoying the royalties of the palace, you do not care if your people die. Listen, if you want to become an effective Christian, an effective minister, your scope must expand beyond the horizon of your ministry and koinonia to think kingdom. You must sustain an ability to receive the burden of the corporate church and not just your individual sphere. Now, for the purpose of organization and loyalty, you'll be loyal to whatever God has committed, the ministry, whatever it is he has given you. However, your concern must transcend your personal comfort into seeing that the body of Christ is making progress. No matter how koinonia is advancing as a ministry, if the body of Christ in Zaria, if the body of Christ in the north is not making progress, if the body of Christ in Nigeria is not making progress, we are not making the kind of kingdom impact God desires. Are we together? As a ministry, we may be doing well. This is the reason why we travel from region to region, spending our lives, stretching ourselves. We're doing well as a ministry. But how about the body of Christ? That they too may know him. So we go to other regions and inconvenience ourselves to make sure that we open them up to the perspectives of God that has been communicated to us and contribute our quota to strengthening the body of Christ within that territory. Hallelujah. Are we together now? And this is one of the proofs of a true apostolic ministry. The scope of the impact of an apostolic ministry is beyond the platform that is committed to them. They oversee the spiritual progress of a territory, not just a ministry. Hallelujah. So if there is a spirit that the devil is bringing over our territory to cause the church to be lukewarm or to begin to cause a particular trait and a manifestation of darkness, it is the role of the apostolic and the prophetic ministry to see beyond, even if it has not affected koinonia yet. We see it and stay it far off and keep the environment conducive for the advancement of the kingdom to take place. Indifference. There are so many people who will never come out. You ask them, what is your position on tithing, for instance? And because they are in the presence of somebody who does not believe in tithing, they will not want to spoil that relationship by saying tithing is of God. But then they have their convictions, but to be outspoken about the truth, they do not want it because they are afraid of losing members. Are we together? They are afraid of losing all kinds of things. A man comes to sow 1 billion into your ministry and you know it's drug money. But then because you need the money, you would compromise on that chance to show how addicted you are to the precepts of the kingdom. Are we together now? And you collect the drug money and not have the courage to confront him and say, no, we need money in this ministry, but we are not this desperate. It must be according to the patterns of God. And then the last error that has destroyed the body of Christ is exaggerated confrontation of apostasy. You see the balance now. So the first error is apostasy, a deviation from the truth. The second error is indifference. We don't know where you are standing, neither here nor there. Men with no convictions. They are not outspoken about anything they are confident about. And then number three are those who are cynical and they hate the body of Christ. They have contributed to causing more pain in the body than victory. Exaggerated confrontation. They are already people who are sadists. They have a negative perception about the body. Are we together now? And so anything that happens in the body, they interpret it from the lens of jealousy and envy. So even when they are communicating what is supposed to be true, the foundation upon which that communication is predicated upon is wrong. Self-centered and biased. So for instance, if they are trying to say something like, we caught Maman with a charm. As a man of God, we caught him in the meeting. I saw him rubbing one powder quickly. They take on that case study because they have a bias for the supernatural by default. Are we together now? It's just that they do not have enough facts and figures to convince people to leave the supernatural. So when they lay hold on something, they capitalize on that one exceptional case and it becomes the foundation of their proposing what is supposed to be a corrective measure, but it's a communication of error. Are we together? Someone can watch what just happened here now, this manifestation of the anointing, and be uncomfortable with it. Are we together now? And then go to a church where he sees a man of God holding somebody's head and turning the head around and use that singular case to mean anytime you are ministering to people under the anointing is an error. No, sir. You see, true correction must come from a standpoint of love. Anything outside of the scope of love is jealousy, is bitter envy. Are we together? So those who help in deviating the body of Christ from the precepts of God, those who are indifferent about it because of their self-centeredness, and then those who in a bid to supposedly bring correction. Let me tell you something. Please look up. I say this with every sense of humility. Not every man of God is authorized to correct the body of Christ. Read your Bible. You don't just stand up and think because you have something to say. There is a throne. There is an authorization, like a spiritual pass that is given unto people by election of grace that authorizes them to be able to define the boundaries of the spiritual operation of the body of Christ. It's not just because you have a mic and you have people listening to you, you come and stand with all kinds of misguided perspectives and now begin to communicate truths that are limited by your own spiritual perception. Hallelujah. So let's take it from there. And we'll touch on a few things and pray. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1. Amen and amen and amen. Are you blessed? Verse 12. We'll read from 12 to 15. Revelation chapter 1, 12 to 15. There are a few thoughts, maybe about four of them, I will share with you on the body of Christ. And then we will pray. Okay. And I turned to see the voice. This is John the Beloved when he was caught in the Isle of Patmos. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw what? Seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. Next verse. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Let's just stop there, really. The remaining is just a description. Listen, where was the Son of Man found? In the midst of the seven lampstands. And those seven lampstands, John himself interpreted it that the seven lampstands represent the Catholic Church. Not Roman Catholic. The word Catholic means the universal church, the ecclesia. Are we together now? God's body, the very body of Christ. This is a powerful revelation because regardless, please listen, regardless of the error and the confusion, and now I know that there's a lot of that, regardless of the scandals that break out here and there in church among men of God, regardless of the divinations and the mix of witchcraft and the prophetic, God is still in the church. When you want to find where God is on earth, the Bible says he was found in the midst of the seven candlesticks. You will never come to a point where you will not find God in the church. This is a revelation that will help you to tread spiritual pathways. Listen, in every assembly, I don't care whether the man is a herbalist or a devil, if there is one person who genuinely believes in the hand of God, for the sake of that one person, God will find a way of manifesting himself in the church, whether or not he is received. Are we together now? Please listen. Do not carry this idea that God is just in some places and not in some places. No, the Bible says in the midst of the seven lampstands. Are we together? You must have this understanding about the body of Christ, so that when you go for a conference and you watch the people playing games and the people trying to get money out of people, as angry as you are, there is a consolation. He is still in the midst of the seven lampstands. So you take your eyes away from all the error and the jamborees and you pay attention. If you pay attention, you will find God. This is already a deliverance for someone. Because if you are looking for a perfect church, you will not find one. You will find a man of God who is worded but lousy. While you are angry with that one, you will find the one that loves God, but once in a while he touches beer when there is pressure. Are we together? And then while you are running, you find another one. Brothers and sisters, in the midst of the confusion of the church, Christ is still in the church. So you have your predefined, you have your idea about how service should be run. Koinonia is quite organized. If during praise and worship you decide to just fly over here, the protocol will carry you and take you out. We are a bit organized, but there's a church you go to that somebody can even be dancing and come and jump, and the man of God will hold him and jump back, and you now roll and enjoy. You will go to that kind of church with your cynicism, because you want everywhere to be like Koinonia. And then you do not have the flexibility to understand that God is not in the church because it is perfect. God is in the church because he is the one perfecting it. Believe this and you will have a very, very open spirit about the body of Christ. There is no way I cannot preach. There is no way I can. If tell me, I don't mention names of men of God, but please permit me to just call one. Call Gurma, that guy, Lagos about the next one, Gurma Raji, right? If Gurma Raji invites me for dinner, I will go. I won't do it in a secret. I will do it in the open. You will snap me and it will be on Facebook. I will go and eat with you. The person who cut the meat you bought from the market today is doing worse things than Gurma Raji. What they did with that cow before you ate it, but just because you didn't see it, you now bought the meat, you didn't pray over it, you boiled the thing and ate it. You see, this hypocrisy and lies in the church is why we don't find God. Listen, there is no man who is influenced outside of his will. Being in the presence of evil is not what corrupts people. Opening up to the influence of evil is what corrupts a man. This is not a justification to be unruly with your spirit. But you must be conscious of what is within you, above and beyond what is around you. Let me tell you, Christ is in his body. Don't think one man's anger about what the church is doing. So the argument that, oh, there are people who wear trousers and God is not in this church. There are people who veil their hairs and don't believe in wearing trousers. They are people of the law. God is not in this church. These ones are grace people. God is there. These ones are law people. God, these ones are Old Testament. Christ is everywhere. Trust me. Trust me. I've gone to too many places and I have wondered and marveled at the presence of God that came there. So when I go for a meeting, I expect imperfection from the vessels, so it doesn't surprise me. Are we together now? I went for a meeting one day and the man of God was preaching and they were clapping and he was carried away and he did something that Kai, a Christian should not do. You know, we men of God, once you are carried away, especially when you joke and people clap, you now digress and start saying things that don't make sense, and he did something that was not nice. Said, well, God, this is your church. You are still in your holy temple. We fear you, but just have mercy on us. And my ears was open and I was blessed. I was blessed. So if you go and sit down in a church where they say everybody fetch sand, for instance, you just, what am I doing here? No, let me tell you, you can ignore the sand part and pay attention. Even if you don't learn any spiritual lesson, you can learn diligence. Even if you don't learn anything, you can learn excellence. If the message is not blessing you at all, look at the backdrop. All right, this is a new color. I've not said, there's something to learn. Because whatever it is, Christ is in his church. Listen to what I'm telling you, and you will be so matured. You will marvel and wonder at your level of spiritual maturity. God's idea is not to make the whole world koinonia. That's a dream. If that's what you think we're doing, well, I'm not one of those men of God who believes that we'll convert the whole world to become our church. It's a dream that God will stop by himself, because that's not his idea. I think kingdom. So regardless of my personal contribution, I am also of the proposition that the church as a universal entity will make progress, even if it is not my unique. So if somebody is healed, whether the person was healed from MFM or Living Faith, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is an avenue has been created for the power of God to find expression. Are we together now? God is still in the midst of his church. Please listen, brothers and sisters, God does not use us because we are perfect people. No. Self-perfection is exhausting and unnecessary. Number two, Matthew chapter 16, verse 8. There are certain things that I want to straighten out tonight about the body of Christ, so that our approach over the body of Christ will be very balanced. Because many men of God do not have the courage to teach this. Because of their bias, they run churches like their personal organization. Matthew 16, verse 18 is the second point that I want to communicate. It says, "And I say unto thee," listen, "thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Everybody say, God will build his church. So who is the builder of the church? God never left the building of the church to Joshua Selman or any other person. He himself is the builder of the church. Imagine if God left the building of the church to me. I will first gather all the people who are my tribe. Is that not what we do? Are you my tribe? No, you are not part of this building. And we make it look like association of Christian members of Northern. I will build my church. And if you allow me build it, the gate of hell. That means if the gate of hell is prevailing over your church, you are building it. Because God said, I will build it in such a way that it will be so fortified that the gates of hell will not prevail. Please listen. I want you once and for all, especially for those who are pastors or those who are trusting God for ministry, bury this ownership mentality about ministry. This is why pastors fight. Do you fight what is not your own? If I want to touch a Jimmy's child now, it's his child. Are we together now? And so he will stand and defend it. If I'm touching this flower, you may feel bad, but it's not your own personally. So you have no right to challenge me. The decoration department can be angry, but at least not you. So why do I become so personal? If somebody says, I don't like koinonia, you take it personal because you are the geo, you are the builder, you will pay for the bills, you will manage all the crises there, and you will run yourself to an early grave. I learned this early in life. God, if you don't build your church, let's be embarrassed together. I am just a pipe. The way, you see, let me tell you, this is the reason why there is so much refusal to confront truth in the body of Christ, even when the truth has been known, because everybody is conscious of his own church. So we run ministries like business ventures. I have 2,000 members in my ministry and my church. These are my sons. These are my daughters. Everybody's at my beck and call. And then you now try to spiritualize it by saying God is helping us. ownership mentality. As a leader, you should be responsible over that which God has given to you. But you see, we are stewards in the kingdom. If men of God knew that they are stewards, they would not kill themselves. I see the way a lot of pastors, you see somebody, he didn't come to church, you almost kill him. I didn't see you in church. Why? To mean you reduce the number. It's because of you they thought were, they have been writing that we are 50. Now you are the one who is making them think we are 48. You see, that kind of mindset. Listen, I'm speaking to you. If you don't relinquish the pressure that ownership brings, it will kill you early. That's why people fight. Hallelujah. That's why people fight. If you ever want to see expansion in anything and in ministry, you must surrender everything to God. You see the way we do koinonia. The workers are aware. God forbid, but if I die today, you only cry for 7 days. Today is what? Friday. I assure you, by Tuesday or Wednesday, you'll be used to it. Ah, apostle is dead. I'm dead. What happened? This guy even released long life. What you are saying is irrelevant because I'm gone. They will bury me, take me. My mother will cry. All the people, they will cry and everybody will be fine. When they dump me, that's all. I tell you, and by next week, koinonia continues. The only thing you will miss in this ministry is my unique grace. I preach enough messages to bless the body of Christ. But there are pastors, the day they miss service, everybody will know this service was a mess. Where are you, Abba, pastor? Where are you? Listen, never have that kind of attitude over the body of Christ. The best of any member is only an effective member. No one person equals the church. The recognition of this is equal to wisdom. Are we together? I learned this early, and so I let him take the glory. He's the one building koinonia, and for as long as I allow him to keep building it, that's the reason why we do ministry pressure free. There's no frowning at everybody, frowning at the offering. Once they are dropping, you are now looking. You see 5 naira in the transparent side of the basket, you are angry. 5 naira, how much is generator? How much is this? If you want to fund ministry by yourself and be responsible, no. Get set to kill yourself. I'm too young. I plan to live very long. Forget this story about death I told you. I have the confidence to say it because I plan to live long. The mysteries of life that surround me are more than any devil, bomb blast, accident, etc. That's why I can talk about it. I scare death to his face and go to bed because death is a spirit. It's not one of those touch, no. Come on. Ask it. The sun will no more give me sunlight by day. The moon will no more give me moonlight by night. Jehovah will be my everlasting light. He'll be your glory, your strength and your sight. The light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will shine 7 times as bright. When Yahweh binds up the wounds of this world, He heals all the bruises inflicted by this world. Hallelujah. Listen. God is the builder of the church. And like every member in the body or the corporate body, you can allow God to build your life. Because your own body, not koinonia, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I allow Him to build me into prosperity. I allow Him to build me into health. I allow Him to build me into increase. I allow Him by aligning to Him. Every other thing is a work of grace. My own part is alignment through obedience. Are we together? Listen, I'm speaking to someone tonight. Come unto me, Jesus says, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden. You are putting upon yourself self-inflicted frustrations. There are pastors who, before a service starts, they will call the department. How many people are there now? Say, Kai, the way it is, it's like 80, 81. I was 81. Today, that is a convention. Depression for no reason. And I will build my church. Papa Oyedepo was sharing how that when they were dedicating Covenant University, the Lord asked him to lie down flat on the ground in front of the gate. Are we together now? Different men of God have their different skills of surrender. Papa Oyedepo will kneel down. Once he just goes on stage, he will kneel down before everybody with his, what they call that thing? Tambourine. Say, look, don't be carried away that I'm among the world's 100 most influential people. I can sing and dance before God. Other people roll on the ground before God. All that they are doing is saying, Lord, let the people see that it is the finger of God, not the brain of a man. Your brain is too small to run ministry. Ministry pressure will blow it into pieces. Hand it over to the all-wise God. Listen, every time you see supernatural things in the church, don't fight it. It is the finger of God. Because most times, the reason why we doubt the fact that it is God is, we look at the individuals that God is using. The protocol people are here and they will tell you, most times when we travel for ministration, most people, did you know that over 70% of the people who have been blessed through this ministry have never seen me? They don't even know how I look. And I love it, you cannot imagine. We're dropping from the airport and then we come out and then they are looking. They greet Victor, how are you? They greet Mike and then they look at Yerima. Oh, Yerima is quiet. He looks like he's the one. And then I'm there with polos and my earphone and I'm just moving. And then I say, how are you? And I can see the disappointment. We labor to borrow Jeep. We labor to do all of these things, to carry this thing. But there is this treasure in earthen vessels. Listen, when you know this, no matter how high any result you see is, you will not be afraid of it, because you can see where the man's limitations stop. You know from here is no longer Joshua Selman. This is the hand of God. Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out these demons, the kingdom has come to you. Same thing with honor. We're talking with while the protocol person was driving me, Eddie was driving me coming. We're discussing with him in the car, and then I was telling him, I said, can you imagine how what was I even talking about? I was talking about honor, how people crave for honor in the body of Christ. Once somebody is entering, when I was coming, I saw the media people chasing me with camera, just snapping, and I said, these are the things that kill men of God. You snap your way into death. Unnecessary honor. Let me tell you something. I have found out by experience that honor is a mantle. If God has not given you, there is nothing that will bring it to your life. What someone did that brought honor, you would do it and they would trivialize it. But when that grace comes, no matter what you do, and Jabez was more honorable. Which service did he conduct? It was an anointing. Hallelujah. And I will build my church. I learned this principle of absolute surrender long ago in my life. And it's one of the foundational things. That's why when men of God stand and they are bragging, I this and that, my shoe is 50,000, this suit came from this. I say, Lord, I know how the suit came. It came through favor. Favor. I'm unashamed of the favor of God. Oh, you were smart. Fine. You qualified after 20 years of ministry to be sitting in this position. I was carried on the wings of grace. I know how I got there. And so I don't become foolish. He is the builder. And so I give him all the glory. I will not say, Lord, you are the builder. Then when it's time for shine, I say, God, this is my moment. Just allow me to savour it. To you be all the glory. The reason why we don't give God glory in church is because we do not recognize that he is the builder. The leaders know. Everybody knows. I tell you, that anybody climbs this pulpit one day to brag and make noise as though it's his strength. I don't know what will happen to that person. Maybe thunder will just strike on his head and drop him dead there. Koinonia is a mystery held only by the hand of God. Only by the hand of God and not the wisdom of a man. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God. He said, no man, for no man can do these things except God be with him. Is God with you? And are you allowing him to build your life? Are we together? Say after me, God is building the church. That's why, let me say something. Except for very, very, for few exemptions, the idea of people running away from their church because they feel it's not hot enough is not correctly kingdom, because God is building his church. As lukewarm as that church is, one day the fire of God will fall on one quiet youth who is around one at the back of one toilet praying for 3 hours every day. He will just pray and go back and say, Lord, this boredom in this church, I am taking the burden every day. He's just praying in tongues 3 hours. One day he will have an encounter. That's what happened to Apostle Babalola, right? Quietly he went to tap I don't know if it was palm wine or something, I can't remember the story now, and the fire of God fell upon him. He saw a whirlwind like that of Moses, and a voice spoke from it. He had an encounter. And then they were already a group of prophets who refused to endorse him in the ministry. And one day they were watching him from the window during a prayer session, and the guy healed a madman in their presence. And the Lord told them, this guy is one of the people to carry that apostolic grace. That was the only condition, that they received him and extended a hand of fellowship for him. Brothers and sisters, please let God build your life. All this bragging, I'm beautiful, that's why it's working. You will see the limitation of beauty when it is only beauty building your life. I'm rich, that's why. I got first class, that's why. Remember last month or month before last, when we prayed for a first class student here who was jobless? How do you explain that? Please make up your mind for the body of Christ and for yourself that from today, you will never be embarrassed to directly acknowledge God in all your ways. I'm sharing with you a principle that will bless you. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Right? Proverbs chapter 3, when you read from verse 5 to 6, to 7, really, that's verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and there is a promise, he will direct, make straight your path. My ministry, my business, my intelligence. Many guys are around me. Even them, they know that I'm fine. Continue. Instead of you to use the opportunity and say, Lord, thank you. There are many ladies nobody will even say good morning to. See, let me tell you. Men can deceive you, but when you deceive yourself, you are really in deception. Everybody here, we know where God brought us from. Everybody knows. I know where God brought me from. So I'm not going to allow all of the blessings from ministry get me carried away. Some of us will not acknowledge it by ourselves. But if others try to do it in a way you know is destructive, you will enjoy it. It's like saying, I won't buy beer with my own money. But if Sam buys for me, I won't mind. You are still a drunkard. Because a drunkard is not the one who buys beer by himself. He's the one who drinks it. Whether it was given as a gift or bought with your money. An arrogant person, right? A boastful person, the one that will face destruction from God, is the one who always looks for an opportunity for vain glory. I'm not saying don't honor people, don't acknowledge people. I know you love me, you respect me, you honor me. I love you and I honor you too. However, there is a limit, and it is the responsibility of everybody to draw the line. There are things people do for me, I say, no, this is too much. And I will build my church. If you allow me build it, the gates of hell will not prevail. Say amen. Amen. Number 3. Is God blessing us? Please pray in 1 minute before we continue and say, Lord, build my life. I've been trying to do this thing in my own strength. Please pray. trying to enter a relationship by your own strength. You tried makeup, it didn't work. You tried Wevon, it didn't work. You tried buying designers, it didn't work, because it doesn't work by all those things. It takes the mercy of God. Open your mouth and pray. I've tried it by my strength. I've tried succeeding. I've stretched my intellect from border to border. Tonight, I give it up. I give it up. Please pray. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Lord, if you do not help me, nobody can help me. If you don't take me from where I am to the place of destiny, there is no possibility outside of you. Can you pray? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Hallelujah. Please listen. Let it be a culture in your life. Every time men begin to clap, become an usher. Point them to Jesus. Hallelujah. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. You never see me say, I did this. The power of my might. I did this. Do you know, every time we finish Koinonia, when I go back home, many times after counseling people, I have one small chair. It's my little altar with God. I just get down on my knees. Sometimes when I come, especially during the miracle service, mighty things that God has done, you know, that's how I can just, sometimes I can stay in that position, and that's how I pass the night, just acknowledging Him. I don't cry before people, but I cry before God. I just sit down and I see His faithfulness. When we had 25,000 likes on Facebook, exactly 25,000, I was on my knees before God and I said, Lord, I know people with TV ministries whose Facebook page is not even up to 3,000. It's the faithfulness of God. I said, Lord, to be able to influence people, I hear that already, this is just like the second service, there are over 1,000 plus people following us on Facebook already. I mean, on our online radio, right now, connected, listening to me from around the world. During my birthday last year, there were about 16 nations called to say happy birthday. I've not gone to those, almost all of those nations, maybe, but the faithfulness of God. If you learn to acknowledge God, some of you, if God gives you half of the anointing He has given me, your knee will never touch the ground again because of arrogance. The knees that used to touch the ground, this was how I used to cry in His presence in the night on concrete floor. People are sleeping and I'm crying and say, God, please, if you ever will need to use a man, I'm available. Then I could not afford suit. Now that I can afford it, that suit must rub the ground, except it's not my own. If it tears, let it tear. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. In my life, be lifted high. Be lifted high. For your glory.
For your glory, be lifted high.
Be lifted high.
Be lifted high.
Be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted. Two more times. Be lifted high. For your glory.
For your glory, be lifted high.
Be lifted high.
Be lifted high.
For your glory.
For your glory, be lifted high.
Oh God, make me a millionaire. You, the day you hold 1 million of your money, you that's the day you will know you don't fear God. Because prosperity gives you options. Can you stand and look at 100 million, 1 billion, and hold it and say, Lord, this will not take my place in your place in my life. Oh God, bless me for where you began to love God. The day one guy said, I love you, by yourself, you have not prayed since that day till today. No need for prayer again. The day someone said, ah, you are pretty. The day they said, lead one small prayer, and two people fell under the anointing, God never saw you again. Ah. This is how people cheat themselves out of the realm of the spirit. They cheat themselves out of the place of power. I tell you, this is why the body of Christ may never come into unity, because of this spirit of pride. I did this. I built the church. I did this. It was by my wisdom. I prophesied and it happened. I spoke to her and she came with triplets. The Bible says a man can have nothing except it be given to him by the Father. This was the secret of David. David knew the hand of God. He would say, many are they that rise up against me. Many are they that say, where is his God? He said, but thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me, that I have not fallen. It's not a product of my strength. Oh, I'm this. I don't like ladies. Keep quiet and give God all the praise. I'm anointed. I finished 3 days dry. Come and see what God did in the meeting. Who told you? Who told you? He does these things that men may fear him. Let me tell you something. I show you a secret that will make God vow to keep lifting you. Men may talk. Their saliva will dry from their mouth, but you will just be rising by a mystery no human can explain.
Be lifted high, be lifted high, higher and higher, Lord. Be lifted high, be lifted high, higher and higher, Lord. Be lifted high, be lifted high, higher and higher, Lord.
Hallelujah. This is already a message to somebody. This may be the missing key behind your glory that just faded. From last year, you found out that it was like Ichabod. There are people like that. I watch preachers on TV, and without a sense of cynicism, I see the fading of the glory. People are still celebrating, but those who are in the spirit know there is nothing new in this grace. It's dried. Money is still coming, but it's dried, I tell you. I've had ministers that I respect so much. I've had ministers that I acknowledge the dealings of God in their life. Speaking recent times, and I was shocked. How can a man touch a level of spiritual reality and not have anything else to tell the body? There are people who have been edged out of the program of God because of this pride. There are musicians who have left the scene of Nigerian gospel music never to come back again. Because right now, if you don't give them 1.5, they will not come. You have to talk to multiple PAs. They've forgotten that it was one song they didn't even write. It came that day, they didn't eat, and they were praying, and God said, let me bless you, and he brought one song that opened them up. And from that day, have you noticed that most of these people, any other song they write, no matter what they do, it will never sell again, because it was never about the song, it was about the grace. There are some of us here, please hear me, I'm speaking to you. I know pastors who anything they did used to work, no matter how small. It was like a charm. They can organize a program in 24 hours. But right now, whether you put balloon, whether you fly around with plane, nothing happens. Because Ichabod, the glory has departed. I tell you something, the sin of pride is worse. Is worse than the sin of drunkenness and all of these other things. When God will lift a man and you now stand and forget the God of your salvation. I spoke to a man of God one day. I used to know that man. Very interesting. Then God had not done anything much in his life. But I spoke to him recently, and his arrogance oozed out like an odor. I could literally smell it with my physical nose. I was talking to him on the phone. There are pastors who, until you now have a seat, they forgot how God took them. You want to see Joshua Selman stand here with your 50,000 or your 100,000. Not that God led you to honor. Not that they challenged you in church to sow. They now stand. As you are dropping it in the basket, then you see the man of God. Ah, quarter for me to do that. May God take my life. For what?
Be lifted high. Be lifted high. For your glory be lifted high. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. For your glory be lifted high.
Hallelujah. Please sit down. We have to hurry up. I already sense the presence of God. Let's hurry up. Number three. The third thing that we need to understand, listen, for the body of Christ to attain the unity of faith is to separate between doctrines and personal dealings with the Spirit. Please listen. What I'm telling you tonight is very deep. Pay attention. There is a difference, listen, between your personal path of spiritual progress as earmarked by God on the strength of what He's making you become. Are we together now? We all start our journey into the things of the Spirit together. But as we proceed, the election of grace diverges men into different trajectories in the Spirit. Are we together now? And so, if both of us start together and you are called into the prophetic ministry, I'm called into the apostolic ministry, you are called into business, somewhere along the line there will be a divergence. The same way students start course, science, whether engineering, medicine, you do the same thing. Are we together? As you progress, what happens? You now begin to move to different programs that are custom built to produce that thought, that knowledge in you. Now, the trouble is this. Most people, especially preachers, have not been able to draw the line between their personal dealings with God and some of the ordinances and the covenants that they are compelled to make to strengthen their personal walk with God so that they can be effective in dispensing the dimension of God committed to them. They do not draw that line. And everything, their personal dealing in the Spirit, they ship it to the altar and teach it as a doctrine. Are we together now? Listen. Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Are we together now? Did you know that God can come, my dear? God can look at this lady and in his personal dealing with her, because she's on her way to become the wife of a man of God and a man of influence. Are we together now? God can tell her, my personal dealing with you, you are not going to wear trousers. Are we together now? That is not about wrong or right. You are occupying a position where you will be a mother to many. And I need you to be as modest as possible so that you can give the clearest picture of a virtuous woman. That is a personalized dealing. But by the time you now ship your personal experience and use it as a template to define virtue, you bring error in the body of Christ. Are we together now? There are personal things God can give a man. Are we together now? Stringent rules that God has given people. It has nothing to do with old and new covenant. It is your personal walk with God. God can be so meticulous as to define for you the kind of clothes to wear because of an assignment. God can be so meticulous to define to you the number of children to have. God can say, because of the enormity of this assignment, you cannot have more than two children. If you like, have eight. But my recommendation for efficiency is two. It's left for you to sacrifice your personal ambition of wanting 10 children to say, Lord, for your glory. If you are lonely after 2, you buy a puppy. But anything outside that, you position yourself. Are we together? God can say, because of where I'm lifting you, you cannot have 3 cars at any given point. People who sow 20 cars, find the best 3 and give the rest out. And people, they don't know these are ordinances that control power in the spirit. It's not something, there are things that God has given me, like personal rules. It's in the Bible. Samson was given a code. They said, Samson, the secret of your anointing is tied to your hair. You are a Nazarene, separate unto God. Let no razor touch your head. You can shave, but not bow. And Delilah came. He tried to do every kind of thing, and she went to his hair, barbed the hair, and barbed the glory away from his life until he died. Are we together now? Listen, most when I see the way many ministers are careless, I'm surprised. Because you see, increase in ministry can make you forget the precepts and the ordinances of God that were given to you. There are agreements that I had with God. I've done all kinds of crazy things. There was a time the Lord gave me an instruction. I put 100,000 on the ground. And the Lord said, I should pray as I'm matching it. That's how I kept matching it. I was praying in tongues for hours, declaring that finances will never have dominion over me. Will I tell you to do it? It is a personalized dealing. Are we together now? Please listen. This is giving us maturity. Separate between the ordinances of God given to you in the secret place for the purpose of efficiency and doctrines that are established by the integrity of the word. They may not be wrong, but God gave you that because of the capacity he has also given you. Somebody like Papa Adeboye, his covenant with God was that every time somebody before like he worship God, Papa, he would go down Adeboye on his knees. His covenant. Are we together now? Whether in London, before Obama, like God, before anybody, he would do this. Are we together? Are we together now? Whether in London. There are people, because of their covenant with God, they will never own more than 2 personal houses. They will make many rich, but they themselves are limited. For many years, I wanted to buy a car. God stopped me. I don't know how many times. There are times I've smiled thinking, I just went to God. Oh God, I like this. No way. Will I stop you from buying a car? If you want to follow my own path, for you, God didn't direct you. And it... What is your dealing with God? There is no man of the secret place who will not eventually have personalized dealings with God, where unique ordinances will be given to you from God. It was William Branham that was given a sign by the Lord that every time his right hand begins to shake, the angel of the Lord that accompanies his ministry is in the place. And he will stand for hours. And people are watching him, and he says he's waiting for the arrival of the angel. And people are angry. Which angel? We've been here. And then his hands begin to shake. And he says, the angel is here. And you begin to see dramatic things. You try it. You don't know whether it's demonic or... You see how spirits get into people. Because you now begin to see yours and say, ah, William Branham. Whereas it's a spirit. God is warning you. The atmosphere of God's glory is causing a spirit to react. Instead of you to cry for help, you are there rejoicing that you are growing. Listen, it is costly and dangerous to take your personal spiritual precepts and bring it as a sign, just like the example I shared. Did you know that there are ladies that God will give them rules? No heavy makeup, aside from powder and just something, does it stop there? He may not necessarily fight anybody, but he's saying, because of what I am making you become, can you sacrifice this for me? Are we together? Listen, if you love the Lord, there is nothing he will make as a demand from you that will be too much to give him. Hallelujah. It is lack of this separation between personal dealings. I've done all kinds of crazy things with God, but I cannot bring it as a doctrine. I stopped sharing my experiences. The only experience that most people have had is my encounter with Jesus. There are many more, but I will not share it because these are personal dealings. And if you are not careful, when you begin to share it, it will make people to deviate from having confidence in the knowing the word to begin to search for encounters. And when the devil sees your appetite for sight in the spirit is the exact raw material he needs to deceive you. One day you will see something that will not be of God. Hallelujah. So many altars today, many constitutions of churches have the personal Geo's encounter as the rule for the church. If Geo does not eat salt because God suspected that he may have high blood pressure, and God before that time, you see that just a simple rule. Now he will now add it. If you eat salt in that church, you are anti what God is doing. That's wrong. That's a personal dealing. There are people, read the Bible, because of certain kinds of anointings, they were forced to be vegetarians so that they can host certain kinds of the anointing. But you don't stop somebody from eating. Jesus, for instance, never ate meat. He only ate fish, cereals. It's in the Bible. You never see a record where Jesus ate meat. Who told Paul, kill and eat? Answer me. Who told, when, remember those unclean animals? Pig, everything, when it came down. Ah, Peter said, like Jesus, me too. And Jesus, I had to do, you are not going to the cross. I know what I was doing. He said, kill and eat. He didn't say just kill and look at it, kill and eat. Listen, you can see two people, they will do the same thing. God will keep quiet over somebody, but for the other person, God will say, let's go back to the secret place. And you're saying, God, me again? Everybody is praying for 1 hour, God is letting them. You pray for 4 hours, God is saying you are not being serious. And you're like, God, what is this? Watch this. You don't compare your walk with God with what is happening to the other person. There is a template earmarked for you based on what God is doing in you and based on where God is taking you to. Separate doctrines. A good pastor will know how to teach people the truth. Void, you may at times initiate your personal experiences to buttress on some points, but the message cannot be hinged upon your personal experiences. Your personal experiences are too mysterious and haphazard. It will take only you to understand them. When you share it with people, it will lead them into confusion. There was a time in my life, for instance, where the Lord asked me not to read my Bible for 1 week. You see that kind of strange thing? Imagine teaching you now. You say, thank God, I always knew that this, my not having appetite to read the Bible, is not backsliding. I've been looking for an excuse. Even apostle, don't say that to us. I'm even saying it now, warning you. It was because God, I was in a season of my life where God was teaching me certain things. Are we together now? And God was teaching me that it is more profitable for me to receive the word than just to read it. And the Lord began to tell me that I am ever learning then, but not coming to the knowledge of the truth. I was obsessed with Rema. I would sit down with Dick's Bible and eat it cover to cover, Greek words, check everything, just look at it. And I knew that something was wrong, and the Lord began to speak to me. It's not just about Dick's Bible and Strong's Concordance. Do you believe the little I have given you? Because faithfulness is the key to increase, not just careless knowledge. And the Lord began to teach me that there are pastors that I'm allowing them to glean along certain paradigms in the spirit, but this is unnecessary for your kind of ministry. So you must stay with me to teach you the diet combination that will produce that apostolic grace in your life. And so because of that, it was an experiment for 7 days. But I cannot share that experience and use it as a doctrine. Hallelujah. Is God blessing you? How many people have we confused as pastors with our personal experience? Because the man of God wants 2 children. Like I said, anybody that has 3 4, you are eyeing the person in your church. 5, you are looking with anger. 6, you are looking with rebellion. Why put people under pressure? Just because there are certain people, because of their call, they may not marry. I hope you know. Oh yes, men and women alike. Because of the nature, at least we saw it with Apostle Paul. Because of the nature and the demands. I always imagine if Paul had a wife, he would have been as good as not marrying. Because the number of times she will see him in her lifetime is countable. Prison today, Ephesus today, Diana will influence somebody to go and through, you know, all kinds of things. So God knows why he just said, look, Paul, I know I will compensate you when you come to heaven, but for now, forget about the issue of women and pay attention. So if you are not married, does that mean you pressure people? And every time somebody says, I want to get married, you, there are people like that. Any area that is not a major area of dealing in the spirit, they don't pay attention to people when they are having those issues. They don't deal with them in that area. Personalized dealings. God can give you dealings, food, clothes, the way to communicate, certain things to do and not do. It's not just the cause of the law. It is his unique dealing for you, because he has studied your vulnerability and your strength, and he has seen that it's only in this kind of atmosphere, like a buffer, he creates for you so that you are safe. And if you walk within the jurisdiction of his description, I'm telling you, you will never fall. Praise the Lord. Let's take the last point and then we'll pray. Is God blessing us today? Romans chapter 12 from verse 3. We'll read the A part and establish the last point and then we'll pray. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 12 verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man, listen, that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, right? But to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Listen, the Bible says there is a way a man can have a perception of himself that is correct. But there is a way a man, a church, can have a perception of himself, herself, to a point that the Bible calls it more highly. That means you have crossed the boundary, the acceptable level. The last point, this one has troubled me personally. The inability, closely related to the point I just shared, the inability to separate between thus saith the Lord and our human opinions. Please write it down. The inability for ministries, pastors, to separate between thus saith the Lord, a prophetic word coming from God, and the sincere opinion of a man, a combination of his exposure, his intelligence. Please look up. There are many churches today that even if the man of God coughs, people say, yes, Lord. Because the man has created an atmosphere. I'm not laughing. Listen, please. We are going to pray now. There are men of God who have created a picture of ministry that everything that comes from them is of God. Are we together? We do not know that the Holy Spirit is not a fool. There are many times Paul will speak and say, I speak as a man. This is my opinion, my frank intellectual analysis on this issue. Because you see, we have transferred this inferiority that came from the continent of Africa into our lives, and we feel that the only way to respect us is when we give people an idea that everything that comes out of the man of the words of the man of God came directly from God. What has this led in the body? People refusing to marry because a man could not separate his opinion. I can look at a lady, come mama, I can look at mama now, are we together, and see a very beautiful lady and say, ah mama, this lady is a nice lady. Oh, if you have been praying, I think this lady is worth praying about. That's a human opinion. He's saying amen. I'm busy using him as an example, and you are saying amen. Hallelujah. Oh yes, ah, he knows what he's here in Koinonia to receive. Are we together now? So I am, listen, I'm telling him sincerely, oh, look at this lady. We have all watched her in Koinonia. She loves God. She's a serious lady. She's serious. If God is sending you to a ministry, this is the kind of person to be a pastor's wife. Not by any vision, by intelligence and sight and logical conclusion based on the principles of the word of God. You know a bad woman when you see, you don't need a dream. You see all the attributes. You know an irresponsible man when you see him. You don't need any angel to appear and say, this guy is not an, he's not, he doesn't like the things of God. You are unequally yoked. What you love is what he hates. The more you are growing, the more he's angry with your spiritual growth. Is that a good man? What prayer do you need about it? You pack your load and leave. God gave us wisdom. He said wisdom is profitable to direct. So, back to my example. I can now tell mama. But if because of my arrogance, I now say, mama, that's your wife. Wife, that's your husband. Are we together now? Let me tell you what I've done to both of them. I have tied them in an unholy, I have put a stronghold upon their minds. Are we together now? Whereas this guy may be looking at another lady, his heart is somewhere. He has even started the process, laying the foundation and all of this. And now I'm coming to scatter the whole building because of a supposed vision. Another thing is seeing somebody and telling him, I'm looking at you and I go and start trailer business. This guy is saying God is sending me to oil and gas. He say trailer. And because he respects me, this guy for 10 years is trying to buy one truck. Are we together now? Listen, men of God have destroyed the hopes, the dreams, the lives of people. If you need money in your church and a man says, I want to build, I've gathered 6 million, and you want to say so, don't say God is demanding your Isaac. I'm telling you now, my polite proposal is better than an armed robber's gun. Think about it. That's not prophecy, that's a threat. You are threatening the man to withdraw his 6 million and deposit it, otherwise armed robbers will come. And truly, if armed robbers come one day, you say, ah, this man is a man of God. No, he's not a man of God. That's not the reason why armed robbers came. Listen, every pastor and man of God here, listen, we owe God accountability. You know, years ago, I didn't used to know the effect of my words on people. I used to think when I just speak to people carelessly, it won't mean anything to them. But as I kept growing in leadership, I got to learn that the words of a leader is like the words of a father. It makes impact. You can look at a lady right now and say, I'm proud of you. Just that little step to you is no big deal, but that will be the basis of her seriousness in the spirit. Joshua Selman said he's proud of me. Out of everybody in Koinonia, because to you it's no big deal because you are used to being celebrated. To someone who has never received a comment from somebody, the same way you look at somebody and say you're a bad girl, you were joking, and the lady is crying for 1 week. Oh God, I repent. Wrong words. We have not separated, thus saith the Lord, from our sincere human opinion. There are times people have met me over issues and I've told them, honestly, God has not told me anything about this issue. However, let's look at it from the Bible. Okay, this is what you are doing. No, the Bible prohibits this. Try this, take it this way. And then sometimes in the midst of it, God will speak expressly and I'll say, this is the word of the Lord to you. And when I think what I said was of God, if I later discover that at my level of growth, or for whatever reason, I didn't hear well, I will not have the embarrassment to say, sorry, I think we should pray about this thing again. That day, I thought it was God that said you should buy a bicycle. But right now, I found out that God has no business with you buying any bicycle. Let's pray. Do you have the courage, brothers and sisters, to separate between the word of God spoken to you, to people, or to yourself, and your sincere human opinion? Please sit down. The body of Christ has been destroyed because of this. A man makes a mistake, simply acknowledge it was a mistake. You say, are you joking? Even my mistakes are no. That dimension now is not of God. Once you get to that point, it's insecurity spiritualized. Hallelujah. Because you see, in Africa, we have a lot of respect for the words of men of God. And please listen, pastors, heads of departments, and maybe all the people in our community online, don't be under pressure to speak to people if God has not said anything. It does not mean you are not anointed. Hallelujah. So we have all kinds of people confused right now. How many people have made mistakes in their marriage because it was a man of God that said so? You must marry so and so person. Now he married the lady and he doesn't know what to do with her, and they are all angry and they are confused, and the man of God is there. I know men of God who have looked at people and say, relocate. You shouldn't be doing anything in Nigeria. And sincerely, he just perceived in his spirit that this guy should be abroad. He now said, go to Kenya. The guy is living like a fugitive in Kenya, whereas he was living with authority. He sold his house, sold everything, and left. Could it be that there are people seated here right now, and it's the supposed word from a man of God that has kept you limited? You wanted to do business, and the man said, you don't have any business doing any business. Right? And now you've sat down because you thought that, oh, my own is just ministry that is coming. And you are getting poor, you are getting broke. The day you went to go and meet maybe the lady's parents for introduction, they say, what are you doing? You say, according to what my pastor told me, you say, I should not worry. It would be like the twinkling of an eye. And the father looks at you and he says, you have the courage to come and enter my gate. The next time you come, I will call police and they will catch you. And you go back disappointed. Oh God, did you not speak to me? I refuse to be a fool. I refuse to let the pursuit of God look like stupidity. Whenever there is no direct word from the Lord, I walk with the principles of the word. How many men of God were doing well in ministry until a prophet or an apostle somewhere in a meeting prophesied to them? I know pastors who have no business having churches. They are not supposed to open churches, but they went and met a man of God. Now the man may not be wrong, but he spoke a word. He said, I'm looking at you and I see 17 branches. God is giving you speed. The guy started dying. The money that God allocated for the program, he now started spreading 17 branches around, and now he's killing him. Weekly budget, 2.5. Whereas his annual money that he's receiving from the small members is 500,000. Where is he going to get the other money from? So he starts lying. He starts creating a prophecy session. Drop your 30,000, I speak to you. That's what has led men of God into all of these things, because of pressure. Separate between the word of the Lord directly, see, and a sincere communication of the truths of the kingdom. There are times I prepare a message, not that God told me necessarily. I sat down as a leader, I understand how to build people. I know that if you have a ministry with people, you must build them in the area of spiritual growth, build them in character, build them in finances, family life, leadership, interpersonal skills. These are things that are, we are human beings. God does not need to tell me that. The wisdom of the word has taught me that you must build people holistically. There are times I come on stage here and God completely, from everything I've planned, that does not mean he did not give the inspiration. But at this current time, this is what he wants to be said. and I'm unashamed. I drop it. There are times I come here and I tell you, this is what the Lord spoke to me. This word came from God. This is what He wants us to do. It is not unspiritual to acknowledge your humanity. Listen to my message, why revivals die. The humanity of men. People have sent me names. Dayo, Shegun, who and who, they say apostle. Who do you think among these three guys? I said, no. God has not told me anything. I don't even want to start deceiving you. But there are some of us here, especially some of us who are just starting in ministry. You are under pressure. When you get that kind of text, you just laugh and do tinini tanana, and then it just lands on Dayo and you send back, say, Dayo, I hear Dayo. And now the lady, and maybe Dayo is not even born again. You now pin this lady with this unspiritual brother for many years and she cannot move forward. I deliver anyone here who has been under the influence of a wrong prophetic word that has tied you down and has refused you from moving forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man of God who is limited in scope sees somebody who wants to do international business and he says, no, this is not of God. He's using his limitation about his poor understanding on financial intelligence and destroying the passion of another person to expand. You don't do that. And then the worst part is when we start saying it's from God. So right now, brothers, let me just buttress on this point. Brothers cannot come and meet a lady. You can't come and meet a sincere lady and just tell her, oh, you love God. You have to start saying, look, it was by 241, between 241 or 242. Sorry, I was dragging you, Abby. Around 241 or 242, I was just strolling around somewhere. And I saw what looked like a vision. I said, Lord, is this you? And he was silent. Now, the lady is standing and wondering, what's this guy saying now? Of course, she knows where you are going to. And he says, look, on a very good day, me, I'm just minding my business, but how can I be negligent of this heavenly call now that I've seen this call? And now the lady wants to say no, but she has been threatened by what? A vision. God said, you are my wife. I'm not saying go and think about it. What is the answer? The lady said, well, it's too early. I don't know you. Is this what we are saying? Me too. Do I know the vision? I saw it. As funny as what I'm saying is, this is the template. The only way many brothers in many churches know how to ask a lady. They just come and say, are you still wasting my time? Or I plan to marry based on what God told me. He showed me July. Are you doing this thing or not? Let's just know. And it keeps backfiring again and again and again. Because you see, the laws of the spirit are unemotional. This again is also the reason why people are confused. And let me just touch on this and then we'll pray. Today, you go to bed and you see Amaka. Bless you, darling. Tomorrow, as soon as you wake up, you see Shalhoma. You are washing your face and you saw her face. I say, I reject it. You saw it again. Are we together now? Next week, you now see Martha. And then the individual, is he sincere? Yes. Is she sincere? Yes. But because you have tied your paradigm, are we together now? To only visions, you are confused. You saw seven sisters in 1 week. You are not a bad brother, but you are seriously confused. You can see me, come Martha. You can see me wearing suit and Martha dressed like this. It can mean intimacy, not marriage. You have to go back to God to find out what He's saying. That you saw what looked like suit does not mean it's marriage. A ring can be a symbol of authority, not a vow to say I do. You see, you come down and then be careful. Some of these books, please. It's my job and my duty to address these things, although that's really not what I'm talking about, but since it has come, let's just let it land. There are books many of us have read, written by sincere people who have been confused. That's why a man can be married and now be looking at a lady, and then another prophet will come and say, well, I don't know how to tell you this thing, but this lady you have married, although you are 10 years in marriage, she's the reason why your ministry is not moving forward. I stand as a prophet of God to declare to you, is there a lady called Jane in Koinonia? He said, yes, yes, ma'am. I said, leave your wife, go to Jane. Now, the man will not leave her in one day, but automatically he's not eating her food again. And then he now calls Jane, 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 how now? How was service today? Jane will say, fine, daddy. He said, why must you call me daddy? It has started. I will talk. My name is Joshua Selman. And the wife is surprised. He's praying. He has suddenly developed an unusual passion for prayer in the night. And you go to the parlor and you see he's secretly calling. Jane, what does it take to do your wedding sharp sharp? And he's planning on leaving his wife because somebody said, thus saith the Lord. And in the church, we are so unspiritual that anybody just stands, and because he tells you something that is true, then he now uses it to confuse you. Please listen to me. Anyone here who has left his financial pursuit because a man of God spoke to you and said you don't need it, go back and carry those notebooks and start reading it. Otherwise, you would chew your hands in the future to come. The Bible says a lazy man will not eat. It has nothing to do with vision. Are we together now? If you graduate and you want to become a millionaire, nothing is coming in your hands now. Get a job and start from there. Do you need a vision? There are two ways God directs men. He can say start and he can say stop. So if he doesn't say anything, start. I need to address this. Thus saith the Lord has destroyed a lot of people. So we have gotten into all kinds of things. Thank you, my dear. I went to pray for a woman some years ago. God is my witness. I saw over 21 anointing oils. And these 21 anointing oils was from different men of God and different prophets. 21. None of them was free. By the way, not one was free. She went to one woman, one prophetess. I was told that if you go to the woman's place, now I'm not criticizing, maybe the woman is listening to the message. Hallelujah. And then the woman said, you have to camp in her hostel. You must buy her water. You must eat only from her restaurant. Who does not know that's business skill? No. Don't threaten me with spirituality. Who does not know? If I have a ministry, wouldn't I want you to eat from my restaurant? It's a very sincere desire to generate revenue. Don't spiritualize it and make it look like if you eat my rice, there's the way that rice, is it not Uncle Ben's or whatever? They brought it, they cook that rice. You spiritualize it and threaten people. There are members who cannot go and buy food in certain places because some men of God have supposedly put an embargo. Haba, you want to take your children to a good school, but the man of God has said, if it's not my school, except you are not under this ministry, and you are threatened, I set you free. I deliver you from that nonsense this night in the name of Jesus Christ. One of the benefits of spiritual growth is freedom. Marry me or you die. You say, oh, no problem, I'm already dead. You don't threaten me. I marry because of love, not force. If you are in a hurry, go and find somebody and go and meet the parents. We give this terrible idea about God, and it is the prophetic and apostolic ministry that has brought this bad idea about God. Everything that a man wants, he uses prophecy to make it happen. The Lord is speaking to me right now. Everybody package 10,000. Come and drop it. Rub my shoes with it. It's a sign of speed. The speed I've experienced in 2 years of ministry. Carry that seed. Mr. Man, you need money. No problem. God designed a system to honor you. Don't tell lies and threaten the people. For when God speaks, there is grace for performance. There are many angry people. You see them remove the envelope and they are just walking to the man of God with anger. They get there and they just kneel down and just drop the tear and say, pray for me. The many members are angry, and I foresee a revolt if we don't change. Because as TV ministry is exposing people right now, a day will come, Koinonia is going on air, and more people will hear these truths. And when it happens, people will say, pastor, my money. Because all that long story, you have been threatening me. I will say it without any fear of favor. I'm a man of God. There is a way I can come to you right now and tell you I am hungry. Please give me food and you will bless me. But when I come and say the Lord instructs, even when God commanded Elijah, he didn't go to one and say, God has said it. Did you hear? Bring food. He said, madam, bring food for me. Thus saith the Lord. People have mortgaged their vehicles. They carried their jeeps and gave a man of God because he said, God said, bring it. God is not an idiot. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times that those kinds of instructions will come. I can't tell you how many times God has made a demand of my resources, demand of any and everything. However, anything that is not done by love, brothers and sisters, is sin. Don't let any man threaten you to marry him in the name of prophecy. Don't let any man threaten you. The worst one is becoming part of a church because of prophecy. So like all these guys now serving the Lord, the day now they are ready to go and start their ministries or do something, the man of God now stands and says, if any of you leaves this assembly except I'm not a man of God, there is a curse upon you. Nonsense. There's no such thing as that. Except if they believe it, they'll go and die as a result of lack of carelessness and preparation, not because of insecurity expressed in a threat. Are we together now? There are so many pastors, they can't marry, they can't get a job, they can't move, because they are serving a self-centered man of God who is enjoying their ministry and will never allow them to move. The moment they want to move, you say, the curse, remember, and they now stay back. I deliver you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any man deceive you. Listen, our God is a good God. Our God is not a wicked God who comes out to just kill people and destroy their lives. Men kill themselves because of their violation of kingdom principles. We are going to pray. Ephesians chapter 4 says, it is for this reason he gave unto some, when you read from verse 12, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors, teachers. He says, for the edification, the maturing of the saints. That's what is happening to you. I'm not teaching you this, listen, please look up, to be judgmental and imbalanced, because some of you, your various churches, whether here or at home, you have men of God that do some of these things. The goal is not to go back with the spirit of arrogance and rebellion, but the goal is to have a settled confidence, immovable and unshakable, to separate between thus saith the Lord and anything that is a lie. Hallelujah. But I know whom I have believed. He says, and I am persuaded that he is able. So number one, I spoke about the fact that God is always in the church. I'm doing a review. Everyone say, God is always in the church. Yes. Regardless of the imperfections, God is always in the church. When you go to church, look for God. Don't look for doctrines. When you go to church, look for God. Don't look for dress code. When you go to church, look for God. Not a man's ability to speak good English or otherwise. Not a man's ability to gather degrees and then you use that to mean, oh, this guy knows what he's saying. No. When you go to church, don't go around looking for mundane things. Go to church looking for the one who is in the middle of the lampstands. bypass the mistakes, bypass the arrogance, bypass the flesh, and find God. If you search for him, you will find him in every church, because he's there. For the sake of two or three who are gathered in his name, the rest may be gathered in another name, but when two or three are gathered in his name, what did he say will happen? He said, there I am, not by proxy, in their midst. Number two, God is the builder of the church, and by extension, the builder of your life. Always know that. Number three, separate between your personalized dealings with God and the doctrines that God commits unto you. Your personal dealings with God may require you following some strict pathways that are for your personal consumption and not for the church, not for members generally. Separate it. Feed the people with the truth as committed to you unto them, and separate between your personal dealings and what God is telling them. Number four, separate between, thus saith the Lord, and your human opinions. Your human opinion can be spiritual, and it can also be equivalent to the word of God. But have the unashamedness to admit before people, especially those who honor you and esteem you to be so anointed, have the meekness to tell them, this is my perspective on this issue. And when God speaks, have the unreserved boldness to say, this was from God. If I perish, let me perish. Please rise up on your feet. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. I'd like you to please participate in the prayer. I thought I'll have time to round off with Psalm 133, a mystery God showed me about the blessing released when the corporate body comes, but our time is up. But I think we've had enough. Listen to me. Jesus said, look up, everybody, and ye shall know the truth. He says, and the truth shall make you free. Says, therefore, if the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. Many of us have been saved, but we are not free because of these things. And we are in our way contributing to destroying the body of Christ with these points that I've shared. Pride, claiming everything that is done is from you, or criticizing ministries. You call a ministry and say, this ministry, they are not anointed. They don't even have rhema. There's no revelation in this ministry. There are books God wants you to read, and you feel, I've left this man far. Papa Iya Deboye comes for a crusade and you cannot attend because you think my level of revelation is far exceeding this thing. This man is going to be teaching us as if we're in nursery school. When you search for God, you will find him in every church. Take my word for it. When you search for God, the God that I serve, he's not just in your church. He's not just in Koinonia. When you search for him, you will find him. He was found in prisons. He was found in different places in the Bible. I choose to seek God, not the perfection of men. I choose to seek God, not the dexterity of ministries. I choose to seek God. When I go for a meeting, I ignore the mistakes of the man of God. I ignore the limitations. I see his disalignments here and there, but I sustain a spirit of maturity. Did you know, brothers and sisters, and I say this with all humility, we are praying. I've had the privilege to be called by different people, and they have spoken to me about men of God and their limitations. I think I was sharing with you, was it some weeks ago? One of them was one very great man of God. And, you know, some people called me to say certain things that I cannot even begin to say here. And they were true. They were not a lie. So when they said all these things to me, I had started seeing these signs personally. But then when it personally broke me, the lady had to do it in secrecy, because this is, if you count the men of God in this country, maybe the first 10 you will be among them. Repeatedly. But I told them something. I said, listen, I'm not justifying the things the man of God is doing, but I can tell you authoritatively, he's still a man of God. Whether you choose to disbelieve him or not, I will build my church. If he refuses to align in the secret place and amend for those imperfections, he has God alone to face. But as far as the building of the church is concerned, Christ alone must be glorified. Do not let the imperfections of churches and men of God stop you from seeing God and receiving. There are men of God who are very arrogant, but I listen to them passionately, because my focus is not their arrogance. They should finish their boasting and then let me hear what God has to say. And I know they carry something that I need. So I ignore all of those things. There are men of God who are very careless. I ignore their carelessness and I pay attention. There are men of God who are very vulnerable. When you look at them, you don't know what they can do. But I ignore those things and I pay attention. There are men of God who you know are standing very fine between the bridge of witchcraft and ministry. I ignore all of those things. I have had a passion to find God. That's why I find him everywhere. It doesn't matter where I look, I find him. You stop seeking for him and started seeking for perfection in a man of God, in Koinonia, in your ministry. You stop searching for him and you started seeking for perfection in every book. You started seeking for which Greek word is correct or wrong, and it stops blessing you.
You are amazing. 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 You are amazing.
Hallelujah. Prayer point number one. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, help me that everywhere I go in the body of Christ, let me search for Jesus, not perfection. Lift your voice and pray. A seeker of Jesus, not perfection. A seeker of Jesus. Man may be imperfect. Man may not have the excellence you are looking for. They may not have the organization you are looking for. But can you find Jesus in your church? Can you find Jesus in your pastor? Can you find Jesus in the church in Zaria? Can you find Jesus in the church in the north? Can you find Jesus in the church in Nigeria? Yes, I know there are manipulations. Yes, I know there are wrong prophecies. I know that there are manifestations here and there of witchcraft. I know there are people whose God is their belly. But can you find Jesus in the church? Lift your voice and pray. Lord, I take away that attitude of cynicism. I take away that attitude of resentment. I take away that attitude of self-centeredness. I search for Jesus in every church. I search for Jesus in the Catholic Church. I search for Jesus in MFM, in Living Faith, in Deeper Life. I search for Jesus. Hallelujah. Prayer point number two. Lord, I relinquish dependence on the flesh and all the things that you have accomplished through me, I lift my eyes from today on you alone, and I will never lean on my own understanding. Lift your voice and pray. Father, I repent for making men look at me instead of you. I repent for drawing the attention of men to myself instead of you. Are we praying? Pray. Lord, I've not used my beauty to direct men to the king. I've not used my prosperity to direct men to the king. I have a passion for being celebrated to a default, to a point where I don't care if my king is exalted or not. Lift your voice and pray. Let pride die in my life. Let fame, glory die in my life. Shabakata praga da ba da ba da ba da ba. Shekata praga da ba da ba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll combine the third and fourth point and pray together. We're going to pray and say, Lord, I pray that all those who believe in your word upon my mouth will not be misled by my inability to separate between what you are saying and what I'm suggesting to them. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, in any way I've confused people, bring direction to them. Are we praying in Koinonia? Lord, I pray for the millions that submit to the grace of God upon my life and believe in the word of God upon my mouth. May I never mislead them as a result of my ego. Oh, may I not say God is saying when you are not speaking. May I have the humility to separate between my personal suggestions and the word of the Lord. I receive grace not to put men in bondage. I receive grace not to yoke men. I receive grace to separate my personal feelings from that which you want to tell the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The last prayer point. We're going to pray. Sorry, there's no time. One of the blessings of the body of Christ is the ability to contact the corporate anointing. Listen, let me tell you something. It's called the power of a corporate life. Let me just share this mystery. Give me 1 minute. Listen. If there is a dimension that I need to step into a new level of prosperity or grace, but because of my personal dealings with God, I have not yet learned how to align with the Holy Spirit so that I can make that possibility at work in life, I can take advantage of Ejimi's yieldedness and enter that dimension. Are we together now? The reason why when one person opens a door to the body, everybody starts entering. It's called power of a corporate life. It's there. The oil comes to the head of Aaron, but does not stop there. Anybody connected to that spiritual tribe, that family, they become partakers of that grace. So all it takes, that's the beauty. Everybody does not have to open every door by themselves. So you call the door you have opened from your secret place. I come to the door I've opened from my secret place. In worship, there is a mingling. And I lead that meeting with a grace I never would have anything. Some of you, by watching the worship team, something was calling your music ministry. You had the grace, but you didn't have the ability to write songs. But now somebody with the grace to write songs started singing, and that spirit fell upon you. Right now, there are people who were not songwriters, but because they were able to tap into the grace. Are we together now? There are people that revelation and that grace, the spirit of prayer and supplication, but you were able to, when you keep for Koinonia, and then you started attending the meetings, and then you went to the prayer part, something happened to you. You contacted the spirit of prayer application. Now you can run 8 hours, you're stretching in the spirit. 7 hours, and it's like you just detaching it. There is a grace that makes it happen. Are we together? You can begin to from in the night and pray till 12 in the afternoon, and it does not tell, because the power of the corporate anointing has come up. There are people who do not have the appetite for excellence. They do not even have the recognition of it. But once you come to a ministry, all of a sudden, as a pastor, you start noticing. And in Koinonia, nobody said, it's now time for offering. And then people clap. And you say, wow, there can be a way. You are not just seeing. There is a spirit behind it. And that spirit comes upon you. And all of a sudden, you find out that it begins to affect the area of your life. The day you organize a meeting, you will see yourself reproducing Koinonia. That said, you will know how much you have carried the grace. There are some of you here, you are music ministers. The day you go to minister somewhere, you will be shocked. You will think you are in Koinonia. All of a sudden, you will see graces. That's what happened to a lot of pastors. Some of them just visited. They just came and sat down. I didn't even prophesy to them. They just got up and went back to their meetings. And they were surprised. Listen, let me tell you the shocking thing. When they went to their, when they came for Koinonia, their keyboard did not follow them. Are we together? Their leaders did not follow them. But because of the anointing they came with, all their leaders started behaving the way the leaders behave in that ministry. It's an anointing. It's called the power of a corporate life. You enter into realms that your personal alignment would not have afforded you to enter on the strength of unity. I'd like us to pray tonight, as I just pray for us quickly. I'd like you to say, Lord, every grace that I need, but my personal alignment has not been able to bring me into, and is available in this house, I open up my spirit to receive it. Lift your voice and pray. Pray, pray, pray. You're a prayer warrior, but you are poor. It means there is a grace. There is a grace that is yet to come upon your life. You are anointed, but there are no members. There is a grace that you need. You are prosperous, but you don't pray. There is a grace that you need. You are anointed, but there's no speed in your life. Oh, pray, come on. What grace is lacking in my life and is available? What grace is lacking in my life? Pray, we're rounding up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll just leave the impartation for next week. Please don't miss next week's meeting. Before I come up, we're going to have a session, like a panel, 4 people. We're going to be discussing very serious matters of the kingdom. A panel, 4 people, having some deep questions about our work with the spirit. Dimensions, will touch on 4 areas: spiritual growth, finances, family life, and leadership. We're going to touch on these 4 areas. Please don't miss it. Hallelujah. We're going to sit down and have people discuss epochal dimensions. This is not teaching. This is not teaching. We're going to give people an opportunity for God to just correct things. And after that, our minister, if I'm to do an impartation now, our time will go. However, please, I want you to pray and say, Father, whatever is not working in my life, but I have seen another person in Koinonia working in it, that grace, I open up that it must come upon my life right now. Please pray. There are prayer warriors in this place. There are millionaires in this place. There are exceptional leaders in this place. There are men and women of uncommon influence. Hear me, brothers and sisters. There is a variety of spiritual graces from different ministries, different encounters, different perspectives, different spiritual paradigms. It takes openness. the assignment for you is in preparation for Friday. Write down, listen, write down all the areas of your life where you have seen the grace of God work. Take note of it. But write down the areas of your life. Listen, please. Write down the areas of your life where you have not seen the notable grace of God working. Come with that list. We are going to pray on it on Friday. I'm not interested in the one that is working. Are we together? That's why you think certain men of God are fake, because they are the only ones carrying certain levels of graces, and it's not supposed to be. If you are a prayer warrior and you are broke, it's because there is a grace you have not received. Are we together? If you are a business person who does not pray, there is a grace you have ignored. So the body of Christ gives us an opportunity to step into anointings. Brothers and sisters, you will never prosper in an area where the grace is not available. It's not an issue of trying. Please write it down. Oh, in my finances, I'm a millionaire. This is already done. In my prayer life, God is helping me. I'm doing very well. But in my word life, I think there's a problem. In the area of character, I think something is wrong. Or I do well, but everything I do does not work. I try to call people into anything and they don't come. There is a grace for influence that you don't have. Write it down with your heart open. We are going to flog it out here on Friday. Open the heavens and let there be transference of graces. Transference. And you will go out. There were things in my life years ago were not in my life. I know they were not in my life. And I knew the day they came. There are things right now, they are not yet in my life. And I'm pursuing them with every openness of heart and spirit. And I know they will come and they will land in my life. Father, I pray. Tonight you have challenged us over the body of Christ, to the end that we come to the unity of faith. I'm praying for everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, bring them to strange levels of graces. In the name of Jesus Christ. You are doing mighty things in Koinonia in this season. And Lord, I thank you for it. I'm praying, oh God, that you will not withhold your hand. Do mighty things, mighty things, mighty things in the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, please keep standing. There are people here. Please, when I'm making the altar call, I want to plead with us. No movement. Let us always honor those who need to come and give their lives to Christ. Hallelujah. And so, time for altar call. We should have minimal distractions so that we give the people an opportunity to be born again, to be saved. Listen, the foundation of all these things we are talking about, if you are not in Christ, you are not part of the body of Christ. Are we together? Every part of the body has a similarity. When you see a growth, look not as part of the body, the doctors remove it. Are we together now? If you are of Christ, then you must carry his DNA. Scattered in here, inside and outside, there are people, listen, who are yet to give their lives to Christ. You have never made a decision. Or perhaps there are people, you have been coming out for altar call everywhere you go, but you don't understand fully what you are doing. Or there are people who have given their lives to Christ, but for some reason, honestly, sincerely before God, the cares of this life, the pressures of this life have pushed you to a point where you know that you need to come back to your first love. These three categories of people. Please, very quickly, we have 2 minutes to receive you. Wherever you are, inside and outside, the Lord is speaking to you. Leave your seat and come right to the front. God bless you. God bless you. Appreciate them as they come. I believe there are people the Lord is speaking to. Don't wait for anybody to come. You are the first person. Wherever you are, make sure you don't sit back if God is talking to you. There are people outside. God bless you. Keep coming. Please don't sit back. I believe there are more people God is speaking to them. He's saying you need to come to the cross. Don't play games with your destiny. No one will force you. But then you are opening up yourself to a life of victory, a life of grace. 2 minutes, please make your way to the front. If there are people coming from outside, make way for them. Hallelujah. Quickly, quickly, we have 1 more minute. Are there more people coming? God bless you. God bless you. Quickly, If you're coming, please hurry up. Let's stretch our hands towards them and pray for them. If there's anyone joining them, you join quickly as we pray. Look at me, all of you in front. Please look at me. I'm going to lead you into this prayer. God bless you, my brother. Look at me, please. Gentlemen, can you look at me just in 1 minute? I want to pray for you. A darling lady wants to join. Come and join, my dear. Don't feel bad. Thank you for making this decision. This is a decision unto the Lord. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Lift your right hand and say after me from the depth of your heart, dear Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart, and I believe you died for me. You shed your blood for my sin. I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. From today, the power of sin is broken over my life. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I receive the power to live a victorious life in the name of Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, I stretch my hands over your people. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that this decision will mark a new season in their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every weight of the flesh and everything that destroys your passion for God, we arrest right now in the name of Jesus. Let this begin a journey that will never end in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for this great decision. I'd like you to please rise and follow the gentleman waving his hands. They'll welcome you more warmly on our behalf. Then they'll have details. Bless you. Hallelujah.
Thank you. We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia Eternity Network International, or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_ENI. You can download our messages on www.forshared.com. Eternity Network International, replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.